Hey guys, this talk is with Natasha Bure. Natasha is a singer, actress, model from LA who is now an author of a book called Let's Be Real. Natasha has been on The Voice, she's for singing, and she's done a bunch of other things around Los Angeles within YouTube and social media, and is actually the daughter of NHL player Valerie Bure, the brother of Pavel Bure, and the daughter of Candace Cameron of Full House. She's lived quite the life and she's such an awesome person and such a kind soul. Great girl. Hope you enjoy this one. We talk about just social media and her growing up around that kind of star-studded cast and kind of growing up all over the place while her dad was playing in the NHL. And we talk about social media. We talk about being addicted to your phone. We talk about school. We talk about loving yourself and her book, which is all about being vulnerable and being open and being real. She's an awesome person. Loved talking to her, and I hope I get to talk to her again. Hope you guys enjoy.
Curious.
One time.
Yeah, I just had my aunt move. Okay, you know what? This is actually so weird. I don't think I ever shared this with you, but I think, okay, so my aunt, well, she's not actually my aunt, but she's just, I've known her since I was born and she's like my mom's best friend, so we call her my aunt. She just moved to Arizona and she was telling me about this little girl that she saw. She was at her, like, stepson plays hockey. And she was telling me, like, oh, I saw this, like, such a beautiful little girl the other day, like, so pretty. And I guess she showed me a picture of it, and it was your sister.
No way.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know who that is. Like, that's my friend's sister.
She saw her at the rink.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Does your little brother play hockey?
Yeah, he plays hockey.
Okay, so I think, I don't know if it was they were playing a game at the same time or she was waiting for her stepson to start playing, but I think she was talking to like some of the parents or something, and your little sister was there. So,
Wow.
yeah.
That's so funny. What did she say she
I
was doing?
know.
Because my little sister is a rascal. She is
I
nuts.
honestly cannot remember, but I always see videos that you post of her and I just die.
Yeah, she's insane. She has absolutely no care for what other people think.
That's so good.
It's awesome.
That's how
She's
it
such a
should
role
be,
model. Yeah,
right?
she's such a role model for me. Like just the way that she is and the energy that she has all the time and just like the love for life that she has is it's
Yeah.
crazy. She just
I feel
goes
like
into a
that's just
room and
how
is just
adults
like
should be.
dancing and is like yelling and is just like, I mean,
Yeah, totally.
she's just wild. She's a wild little kid. My brother's the same way, but my brother is now 9, so he's kind of getting to the age where he's like around and he plays hockey, so he's around like these hockey guys that are
Yeah.
like, that's not cool, or they want to be like the guys that are like important or not important, but just
Right.
like tight, like that's not cool, man, or so he's a little bit less like wild man than he was before, and my sister just does not care. Does not care.
That's kind of how he's not really my little brother, but I mean, he's not little anymore, but my youngest brother, that's kind of how he was. Like, he was always in his own world, didn't care, did what he wanted, it made him happy. He didn't need other people to like entertain him. Like, he was his own entertainment and so creative and like just very much like that.
That's awesome. And how old is he now? Isn't he like 15?
He's like, yeah, he's 15 or 16.
What's the deal with him going on?
16. Yeah,
How
he's
is.
16. He's good. Both my brothers are playing hockey right now, so that's
Right.
kind of their life. I think the middle child, he's 18, and he's kind of figuring out what he's gonna do because I don't think he's going to college. He's a senior right now,
Okay.
so I
And
think
that
he's
his name is
gonna
the younger one's Max, isn't it?
Lev. Yeah, the younger one's Max, and then the middle one is Lev, Lev.
Lev. And which one is the one that plays on Brett's team?
Lev.
Lev, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know what he's doing, honestly, but I know he's not going to college, so I don't know if he's going to go play for a club team somewhere in, like, the Midwest, or if he's going to try to join, I don't know, I think he's going to go try to play hockey somewhere. He just turned 18.
Oh, he's 18.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was that old. Okay, nice.
Yeah, and then the
Your dad played in the WHL, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he played for
Spokane, wasn't
I think? Yeah, it was Spokane. he played for Spokane for like 2 years, I think. And then
what's your dad's thought process on your brother going and playing in Canada?
I mean, I think my dad's all for it. Like, my dad's, I think the only difference of like direction is that Max, this sounds so bad, but like Max is a much more, like Max was made to play hockey. Big kid. My dad's not that tall. My dad's like 5'11". Like, he's not this big kid. Like, he was, he's like a smaller guy, I guess. My mom's like 5'2".
Right.
Max is like 6'2", beast. This like huge kid. We don't know where it came from, but he's just like massive. Like, he's just like built to be a hockey player, like a really smart player, but he's not like very academic. So a career in...
So he's a hockey player.
Yeah, a career education, it just doesn't fit him. Like, he's not built for a classroom.
Right,
so
okay.
I think with him, my dad's like, oh, if you want to go to WHL or if you want to go to, you know, USHL or go play somewhere, like, you should, you know, that's like what he should do. Lev, on the other hand, Lev is better off. Like, Lev could get into an Ivy League if he wanted to, you know, apply.
Ooh, so
like,
he's real, very smart. He enjoys school.
He's very smart. He's just, yeah, he's very smart. He's also a lot smaller. And so it's a lot harder for him because he's like, all these guys that want to get drafted are these like huge.
Yeah, the game's changing a lot,
you know,
though.
Yeah, it is. And, but anyways, so I think my dad's like, you know, Lev can go both ways, but Max is like, oh, you should do hockey.
Okay. Yeah. And if you're, older one, like, if Lev didn't want to go play hockey, what would he, does he have any other stuff that he's doing outside of hockey, or is he all hockey right now too?
He's kind of all hockey, but he's always been like really into science. He's really into,
okay,
he's a good public speaker. He's a really good like singer, and he modeled for a little bit. Like, he really can do anything, which is, he's just kind of the man.
And he knows that there's more to life than just hockey.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I mean, he for sure, I think he wants to go to college at some point. But yeah, he's like always been kind of the smart one, the smarty pants. So.
Wow, that's really cool. That's the one that you're really, really, really close with, right?
Yeah, I am. But he like just, well, he didn't recently get a girlfriend, but he in like the past like 6 months got a girlfriend, but the thing is, she doesn't live here, she lives in Louisiana. Now it's like, that's his like person.
Is he traveling over there and visiting and stuff?
Yeah, they travel back and forth quite a bit. Like, I think I would say like every month, like either he'll go there or she'll come here. So she just came, she was here this weekend and she stayed here. And
that's really cool though. How did they meet?
Yeah. They met because, well, actually our families are like friends. It was kind of like vague friends. We just knew each other. And, but then, Bella is my brother's girlfriend's name. She has a friend here, who used to be like one of my bestest friends. She's like still a good friend of mine. And so she would come out to visit her. And then the two girls just came over, and like Lev was actually, I think Lev was dating someone at the time. Like, he was dating another girl and he just met Bella. But then once him and this other girl broke up, they just kind of started talking, and then it got really serious. So.
Okay. Okay. And did you know his girlfriend before?
I did. I've known her since she was like super little. Like, I've probably known her for like 5 or 6 years.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, not like in a close way, but like, I've always known her and I've always like been a friend of hers. She's obviously younger than me, but.
Okay. Is your brother in high school still, or did he graduate now?
No, he's a senior in high school.
Okay.
So he'll graduate this year.
Where are you guys at out there? Are you guys in Palisades?
Yeah.
Palisades. I love that area. I like mm-hmm. Palisades a lot. That's really cool. And so what's going on with you? You never went to college, did you?
I did not.
I love that. That's great. Good for you.
It's just like not for me.
I'm the same way.
Although I will say I kind of was missing it for a while because like basically all of my friends that I graduated with, the ones that I weren't really close with, they all went to these like big universities. And then the friends that I was super close with are kind of similar to me, where they want to pursue like the entertainment industry, or they want to pursue something in music or acting or just something in LA. So a lot of them took a gap year like me, or a lot of them went to like community college. So I never had this like influence even from my friends of like going to this big university. But then my second year, a lot of them transferred, and then I was like, oh, this looks so fun. Like, they're out, you know, like having fun. FOMO. So yeah, I was having a little bit of FOMO. So then I just was kind of, I mean, I'm busy with acting and music and like so many different things, but I was missing like the school aspect and like the consistency of something. So I started taking classes at like a community college that's near me, but I regret that decision because I hate school, but
it's tough, right?
I mean, it is.
I can't do that. Really, I can't difficult. Do the class stuff. I can't do it. Unless it's something that I'm really, really, really interested in. Like I could be really good at math and still be in it, and just if I'm not interested in it, just I'm out. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain, like I'm taking a poli sci class and like an economics class, and those things just literally I could not have less of an interest in. So I'm sitting there and I'm just like, my brain isn't like willing to learn, I feel like. But totally. With things like, if it's like a cool math, there's no such thing as a cool math equation, but if it's something in math that's like a puzzle or something that I find like interesting and I want to work at, then I'm like, oh, this is great, this is fun. But I don't have any classes like that, so I just am so unmotivated right now.
100%. And do you have to go to all of these classes, or are you doing some of them online?
One of my classes is online,
okay,
which is nice, but then I kind of forget about it sometimes because I'm like, oh, I don't have to go in. It's just like on my own time.
Yeah, that's the tough thing about the classes that one are either online, or two, you can kind of not go to, and I don't even know if it's like they don't take attendance or something like that, but it's like if you can skip a class, and it's like, well, I can go to class, or I could stay home and I could watch whatever show I really totally want to, or I could go hang out with my friends and stuff like that. I feel like so many people just take the latter and are like, yo, I'm just gonna skip this one. I'll just skip this one, and then the next week, dude, you know, like, I didn't go to the
yeah,
last
exactly.
one. I don't really need to go to this one. I'm gonna be fine for the test. Yeah, I don't feel like that stuff's easy.
It's tough. And my classes are all my classes are like right in the morning. They're like at 8 a.m.
Ooh, okay.
And
how far of a drive?
Oh, like a 10-minute drive. Not 10 minutes, like 15 minutes. It doesn't take long at all for me to get there. But it's just in the morning, I have no motivation. And what I usually do in the morning is like the first thing I do when I wake up. Like I try to be up and out by like 7:30 or 8. But the first thing I'll do is I'll go to the gym, because that'll like wake me up. You know, I'll be working out. I'll go on a run. I'll go do something. That way I'm like, okay, I feel like I've done something. Now I can go on with my day. But when that's totally. The first thing that I do, I'm just like, I'm so lazy for the rest of the day.
So
like,
normally the first thing you would do is go to the gym, but when you're doing school and stuff, you don't have time to.
I do. I'll wear like my gym clothes or my workout clothes to class, and then I'll just go straight to the gym on my way home.
Okay, yeah.
But then I'm like, I don't know why in my head I'm just like, oh, I'm so tired.
That's tough.
Class.
Yeah, that's tough too, because that class is emotionally draining.
No, it is. And you're sitting there, and now I'm just like, oh, I'm so tired. Or I'm like, I want to eat too, because it's been like 2 hours. I want to go. Or it's like when I wake up, first thing I do is I go, I work out, and then I eat, and then I shower, and my day is going, you know?
Have you ever tried a really cold shower?
I have, but I don't know. I don't think I could do it like that to wake me up.
Oh, I feel.
Do you take cold showers?
I absolutely hated it. And then someone told me about it like a couple weeks ago. I've heard about it a bunch before. I used to do like the ice baths and stuff for hockey, and
yeah,
I would love
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
But someone was like, man, actually try and like just do a cold shower every morning. And because it's one, it's on a smaller scale, it's like just getting over a fear every morning. Because no matter how much you love cold showers, every morning when you turn the water on and it's really cold, you're like, I do not want to do this today. I'm just gonna do a warm one. So if you actually get into it and like do the like, just it's like beating a fear every single time. So you start the day right off on a good note. But on top of that, it's actually like scientifically proven to energize you and like be good for your skin, be good. Just it's like really good for overall health. And it's also like a cup of coffee without having coffee every morning. So you get in it and you're just like, if you work with it and you're not like hating it the whole time, once you get in it and you adjust to it, as soon as you get out, you're like, man, I'm ready to go. It's an easy way, but it's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
I know. It's like, it's easy when you think about it. You're like, yeah, cold shower, it's fine. I'll schwig them and do it.
I know.
It.
And then you turn the shower on and you're like, dude, it's 7. It's still cold outside. I don't even want to do a cold shower. I swear, if you try it though, and you turn some music on with it, you'll get out of there and you'll be like, dude, I'm going to crush today.
I know.
I'm going to crush it. So what's your end goal with the school stuff? Are you doing it just because a couple friends are in there? Or are you doing it for like a reason you want to end with something?
Basically, to train, if I wanted to ever transfer to, let's say, like a university, if I wanted to transfer to like USC or something and take a film or get a degree in film or take music classes or do something that's like of interest to me, you have to be able to transfer. You have to take units, like a certain amount of units. So right now I'm just racking up units in case I ever want to.
Okay. Is it just general stuff that you have to get done?
Yeah, it's general education. Yeah. So I don't even have, like, at this college, I don't have any major. I don't have anything. I'm just taking courses, like, enough so that I can transfer if I want to. But again, I don't really have a goal. Like, I have a goal of, like, what I overall want to pursue. But I want to keep my options open because I don't ever want to be stuck. And I'm just taking it day by day because, honestly, so many things change over time and, you know, all that. So I'm just taking classes and keeping my options open in case I want to do something like that.
Totally. I think that's smart. What are you doing with the acting and are you still doing the acting, the singing, all of that kind of stuff still too?
Yeah, I am. I have some music that I'm probably going to release. I have some music that I've had for a while, like singles and things like that. I'm like such a perfectionist. Yeah. Every single time I hear it, I feel like there's just one thing that's wrong with it or one thing I could do better. So I've just been sitting on these few songs for a while now, but it's also like such a vulnerable thing to write a song and have it come out for people to judge. You know, you're writing your voice, like the story you're telling.
For sure.
So every single time I hear it, I'm just like, no, it can be better, or, you know, this isn't good enough or whatever. So I'm just trying to get these couple of tracks done, but hopefully within like a month or 2 months, these will be out and ready for people.
When you're playing them back and stuff like that, I'm guessing that you don't do all the production. You do like the, I'm guessing you don't actually produce the whole tracks by yourself.
I don't produce the tracks, but I'm there from start to finish. Right. I mean, like depending on if their producer has already made the track, and then I basically say, like, okay, I'm going to come in and write on this, then I'm there from that point on till the end of the song is finished. I know some people who, I mean, I don't personally know them, but I know this is just a way of doing it where it's like you come in, do the vocals, and then the producer does all their magic and like the song is done. But it's like, I think because I love listening to music and I know, like, you know when you listen to a song or something like that, and you're, I don't know, maybe you don't do this, maybe it's just me, I don't know. You're singing over a song and you're like, oh, this would be so cool if this was here or this was here. Like,
totally.
I'm hearing it as the listener more than just like me, you know, listening to my voice of like what I would want added or what could be different. So I have to sit there with, and this guy's Zach, the one who I've been working on songs with. And I'm like, oh, this needs to be added and this needs to be done. And like, I want it to be a whole thing. So I can't like leave the production side of it either. I have to be there for every step just to make sure it's like exactly how I want it. You know?
It sounds like you're a little perfectionist over there. Do you ever, which can be great, but it can kind of be a double-edged sword because you can go too far and never release anything because it always has to be perfect. So once you have these tracks that are pretty close to being done with you where you're like, oh, might need this, but I don't know. Do you ever send it out to like a group of like 5 people that you trust just to be like, what are your thoughts on this overall sonically or the feeling of it or like maybe this certain sound that I'm, and just send it to them and say like, what do you guys think? Because when you're in that studio and you're going through the clips, the sets, or whatever, all the same tracks over and over and over, and you're listening for that particular sound, you can listen it so long that it changes, it morphs,
and all of a sudden
you go back there the next day and you're like, what the heck did I just change this into?
No, totally. I have a couple friends. I mean, I always send it to, I don't know why I send this to my mom, because she's always like, oh, it's beautiful, honey. But I always send my stuff to her. I send it to two of my other friends who do music, and you know, they write and sing and all that, and I always want their take, because just musically, I like someone who's kind of like understands it.
For sure.
And then I'll send it to like three of my other best friends who just don't, they just listen to music. I don't really know any production side of it, but.
And how do you feel if they all say yes, we love it, but you hate it, what do?
I wouldn't.
That's where it's tough. See?
I know. But the thing is, like, when it comes down to it, like, I can't work on a song for more than like halfway and know that I don't like it. Know that I don't like it, and I just won't, like, I won't finish it.
Okay.
So like every song that I like, or, and there's only like right now I probably have like a total of three songs that I'm like, okay, these ones are potentially ready to release, besides like just certain tweakings and not like major things. But wait, I totally just lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
You're talking about how you don't ever keep going with a song if you don't it by halfway.
Yeah, like halfway through, if we're sitting in the studio and we can't come up, and there's like a silence, and I'll be like, do you like this? And Zach, who I usually work with, will be like, like, I think we can do something better. And then it's like, okay, let's just rethink. Because you know what, you're going to make 100 songs, and maybe one of them is going to be like a hit, or one of them is going to be the one that sticks out. So I will only send the ones that I feel confident in to my friends.
Really? That's interesting that you say that, because the 100 songs that, where there's the one that sticks out, you're the only one that's judging the one that's going to stick out. If you send 100, you might be obsessed with three of them, but the rest of the world is obsessed with an entirely different seven of them that you are like, wow, I hated that one. I can't believe people love that. I swear that's what happens to most people.
You're totally right.
That track just blow up? Like, that was going to be one that wasn't even on our initial cut of the album or whatever. And then the one that they are like putting so much effort and emotion and stuff into most of the time, or a lot of the time, I'm sure, doesn't even hit. It's like, wait, I put like my entire soul into that one. So someone was talking about content and was like, speed is so much better than actual quality, because because quality is subjective. So what you think might be amazing might be shit to someone else, and what you think is terrible might be amazing to someone else. So just putting out a ton and constantly putting stuff out is like almost a better strategy. I don't know if for some people it might work, for some people it might not, but I think that definitely I was the same way when I was like producing music and stuff. I would sit there and I'd be like, this is like the most intricate, beautiful piece, like I poured my whole soul into this, and I would send it to my friend, and he'd be like, yeah dude, it's pretty cool. I'd be like, pretty cool? Like, I wanted you to, like,
this is the
best thing ever. Like, how are you not falling over for this? And then I would send him one that, like, you know, I threw together when, like, me and, like, three or four guys are just sitting there, like, messing around, just, like, absolutely pointless, meaningless. And I would send it, and he'd be like, dude, I'm really feeling this. When did you make this? How long did it take you? You know, so it's super subjective.
I do agree with that.
A practice you should try is go into the studio and try to give yourself like a time limit to finish a track, or to have everything completed, and be like, when this is done, I'm moving on to the next one, and then move on to the next one, and see how many you can try and get done in a day without actually caring, and then send those out to your friends and see what your friends say on those ones. It'd be interesting to see.
It would. I am interested in seeing that.
Okay, and so you're doing the music stuff. How's
I am.
Are you still doing the acting? You still doing the vlogging? Still doing the modeling?
I am still doing, I kind of stopped the whole vlogging and YouTube thing for a bit.
Okay.
I wasn't really into it. I wasn't really feeling it.
How is that world? I don't know, like,
it's
literally
so
any YouTubers. I'd say I probably know maybe three or four, but not seriously, real deep. And I have no idea what goes on in that world, but I know it's really, really big. So I would love to hear your take on it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I started YouTube, I don't want to say it wasn't as big, because I started YouTube like when I was what? I was a sophomore or a junior in high school. So I don't know. That was like five years ago. I don't really know. I'm bad with math. But yeah, it was like kind of a thing, not really big. But now I feel like YouTube is like one of the biggest things. Like all these young kids,
yeah,
they don't even watch TV anymore. They just watch YouTube videos and they watch vlogs, and it's becoming such a platform. I mean, you see people like, I'm assuming you know who, like Logan Paul and Jake Paul and these people who have such a platform now for these young kids. And it's like crazy, because when I was a kid, like the only people that I looked up to was people who were on like Disney Channel, like Sweet Life Zach and Cody Hannah Montana. You know? So yeah, it's just wild. But I mean, it's fun, but it definitely can feel like, I mean, as anything can, just feel like a job. And having that platform is like, you're constantly needing to create content. You're constantly needing to put out videos that are going to get views or come up with like new ideas, because honestly, there's only so many things that you can put out and so many things that everyone else is doing. So
for sure.
It just kind of got a little bit tiring for me of being like, oh, I have to sit down in front of a camera and talk about things that maybe I don't really care about, but I'm just trying to, you know, consistently get content up. Because in the best way, that's how you grow as a creator. Like on YouTube, you need to consistently post. It's not really about like the amount of views that you get, because you can have like a one hit video where you have a couple million views and then you have like 200 on the rest of them, you know?
Yeah.
So the more you consistently post and the more that the viewers are expecting your posting, then it's like you're going to grow so much. So I just had the toughest time with that, because my interests change so often. And I don't mean like in a big term, like in big sense, like it's always going to be music. It's always going to be acting. That's like always my number one passion. But just like in little things where I'm like, oh, I really want to focus on this right now. I really want to focus on that. And so it's just like, because it changes so much, I was like, this consistency thing is hard for me. And so I kind of stopped, but I recently gained the passion to do it again. So I've been trying to post more and do things that I'm passionate about. And
Do you hang out with a lot of YouTubers?
One of my best friends, she's like one of the biggest YouTubers now in like the beauty world, not really in like the vlogging world. And then like a lot of my other friends are just like other great smaller YouTubers, and like they're all wonderful. And I mean, so many of them like live in the LA area and it's great. But usually when we're together, like none of us really are like filming or doing YouTube. We just do random stuff. But
okay, yeah. It's crazy how popular someone can get just from doing something like that, like a beauty or makeup routine. Like a makeup routine could literally get like 10 million people watching it.
It's ridiculous. My one friend, I've known her since we were born, and she started YouTube a little bit before me, maybe like, I don't know, a month or two before me, and was like, that's her biggest passion is like makeup. Like she loves makeup. She wants to have her own makeup line, and she wanted to build a brand out of herself. And so many people are doing that on YouTube. And now she has like almost 2 million YouTube subscribers. Like she has almost a million Instagram followers, and that's all because these young girls, and I mean boys and girls everywhere, are just like interested in seeing makeup and having, you know, like an influencer to watch. So it's really crazy.
It blows my mind. And that's why when we were talking about college and you were like, school classes isn't for me, I love that more people are recognizing that they don't need school and that they can find different ways to make something of themselves. And I think YouTube is definitely one of them, where it's like, if there's something that you're passionate about and there's something that you enjoy doing and you're willing to film it and willing to consistently do it, you can make a huge amount of money doing it.
You can make, oh my gosh, like more money than you could even imagine. Like,
I believe that.
There's one YouTuber, I don't want to like get the numbers incorrect, but he's one of the biggest vloggers in YouTube. And I mean, he just makes millions upon millions, but like you can make it in 3 years. You can make it in 2 years. It's not like this super long. I mean, it can be for some people, but because it's growing so much, like the platform itself, you just find what you're passionate about, find the viewers that are passionate about, you know, the things that you're posting. And like, you can just instantly have that brand of you.
Totally. Totally. I was reading somewhere that, Logan, I'm not sure if it's Logan or Jake Paul, one of them, the average salary for them for a year is like 25 million.
Yeah, exactly.
That's absolutely insane. That's more than 90% of the top athletes in the world.
Yeah.
That's like Cristiano Ronaldo making, that's like insane amount of money. And that's like obviously the top of the top, but even like the next tier down, still these kids that are like 16, 17 and have just devoted themselves to it, making like really, really, really good money, more money than their parents are making.
Oh, yeah, of course. And half the time, it's like, honestly, I mean, depending on what kind of YouTuber you are, because there's definitely different communities within the platform. But like, some people are just making dumb videos and it's getting millions of views.
Yeah.
Because all these young kids are just feeding into it, which is crazy.
Yeah, that for sure. And I look at my little sister, like, she's six, and she doesn't watch TV hardly at all. She just gets the iPad and just watches this YouTube Kids. And she watches this one where it's like other kids opening Christmas presents or opening toys, unwrapping toys. Like they unwrap like the little like, what is it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just like sludge and stuff. Or what do you even call it? Yeah. A goop and stuff like that.
Yes.
And she gets so fired up watching this stuff. And these people, there's literally millions of views on it. It's like someone,
I know,
this person that is filming this is making like hundreds of thousands of dollars opening toys with their kids. It's like,
totally.
It's insane. It's totally
and then
crazy.
It's like, it opens a door for you too, for like brand deals and to have collaborate with different people. It's not even just about the views, but like you yourself become a brand, which is just so crazy that you can make something out of just like you filming yourself. You know, it's not like you're having a career where it's like, oh, I'm certified in this. Like, you're literally just filming yourself and you're making a brand.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I would definitely recommend to anybody that doesn't feel like they're meant for school to actually find something that, I mean, I would recommend it to everybody, even people that do love school, to look inside and see what they really love and see if they're willing to spend time putting that stuff on the internet and building something out of it, because it can really pay off.
No, it really can, which is insane.
I think there's a dark side to it too, though. Like you were saying, some of these people that are just filming like stupid stuff and they get so big and they don't recognize how many people, how many like innocent little kids are watching their stuff. And they're doing it and just posting videos of just stupid pranks or just like whatever stupid stuff, vlogging that they don't think is like inconsequential, or that they think is inconsequential. And then a little kid watches it and it's serious repercussions. Like that, what's that name? The dude that we were just talking about,
Logan.
Was it one of the Pauls that put that video up in that forest or whatever?
Yeah.
Of like the person that was dead and like didn't, and YouTube ban his like video or like ban.
Yeah, I think, well, they stopped. I don't know the specifics, but I'm pretty sure they stopped. I don't think it was his channel, but basically a way that you make money on YouTube is you have you can monetize them, which basically means that ads can play on your videos. So if you don't have
like on
ads,
the sides of them.
Yeah, ads, or like, you know, before a video when it says like skip this ad,
yeah, okay,
or yep, whatever it is, yep, that's how they make money, because they pay to have them on your videos. And so I think YouTube is like, oh, we're not going to monetize any of your videos, but I could be totally wrong. I probably am.
I think that's what I heard though too.
But yeah.
Okay, and how does your parents feel about all of like the YouTube stuff with you and you putting yourself, I guess YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff, with you just putting yourself out there?
I mean, I think they like, I don't think my dad really has like a clue. He's just like this, I don't know. He's so not on social. I don't even think he knows what Instagram is.
Nice.
Like, he just literally, his mom, my babushka, will just tell him like, oh, I saw a picture of you on blah, blah, blah. And he just gets so mad. Like, why are you posting pictures of me on what app? Like, he has no idea. He has no concept of like any apps or anything, which is so funny. But yeah, so I don't really think he knows. But I mean, my mom's really big on Instagram. She loves Instagram and she's always about it. But she's always just trying to make sure that I'm putting things out there that are appropriate, because I do have a lot of young viewers and I have like a lot of moms that follow me too. Yep. So I just, sometimes I have to make sure what I'm putting up there is like appropriate, and not that I would ever put anything that's like not me, because I'm not a very like vulgar person in any way.
But, I know. Yeah, totally. And just going back to your childhood, how was that for you, like growing up in like such a like almost like star-studded childhood, and like being around, like your mom was on Full House for how many years? Like ever since you were, was that since you were born?
She was on it from when she was 10 years old to 18. And then she had me at like 22, I think.
Okay. So you literally were like right around all of that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How has that affected you in being, in staying like, you're finding your own identity, being your, staying true to like yourself, not like against your mom, but like staying true to yourself around all of these other celebrities and kids of celebrities and in that kind of scene? Because I know that can be, I know that a lot of those kids don't turn out the same way that you do, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there's a couple reasons. I think, well, I didn't grow up in LA. I grew up in Florida.
Okay.
Because my dad got traded to the Florida Panthers for a bit. Okay. And then he just liked it. Like, he just liked Florida.
Did you guys stay
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Did you guys stay in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, we did. Well, we stayed like a little bit outside. We stayed in this more like suburban area that was kind of closer to the rink that they played in. But yeah, my dad, like, I mean, he still got like traded to different teams even after we moved there. But he just, I don't know, liked the area. So we stayed there, and there it's like either all these old people or I don't know. It's just like a very suburban area. There's not really much going on.
It's a very retired, kind of like retirement community.
Yeah, it's literally either that or like if you go to South Beach or like more in like the beaches of Miami, it's like all the clubs and these girls in bikini, you know, it's like it's very two opposites. But so, yeah, growing up there, because I lived there till I was 10, we moved back to LA for 1 year. My dad got traded to the Kings and then after that he retired. So I really never had any like LA experience where it was like, oh, my mom is going to events or whatever. Like I more grew up just going to hockey games all the time. And so I never really, it was just kind of normal, I guess. I feel like if I grew up in LA, I would have not turned out a lot different, but it's such a different environment. I can't imagine raising my kids here. I really can't, because in Florida, my dad would kick us out at like noon or whenever we got back from school or whatever it was, and be like, okay, just come back when you're done playing, and we just go on our bikes or go in the pool or go build a fort or something. Like, it's so outdoors there. And here it's like it's so social media driven. These kids are on their phones at like age 5, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just like such a different time, such a different place. But
totally.
Yeah, I don't know.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. And while your dad was playing, did he meet your mom while that show was still going on, and then keep playing while it was going on, or was his career done, or was his career going after the show had ended?
No. So my dad, he played in the WHL, and then he came to. He came to America when he was like, I don't know, 17 or something, whatever, played in the WHL for a little bit, and then got drafted to the NHL. And then it was like, he met my mom when he was, am I getting this wrong? I don't know, 20 or something like that. She was like 18 or 19. She was still on the show, but I think it was like one of their last seasons.
Okay.
And this is a fun fact and really weird. My dad and my uncle, whenever they would, because they had like an apartment together wherever they were playing or over, or like during the summer when they'd be training, whatever.
Yep.
They'd train in the morning, they'd take a nap, then they woke up, they'd have like coffee or like a snack, whatever, and they'd watch Full House to like learn English.
No way.
Yeah.
So wait, this is before,
helped them.
Before he met
this
her?
This is before he met her, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And then they'd go and have their second practice, whatever. So I guess there was like a charity hockey game where one of the co-stars, I just sounded so, why did I say it like that? I just said like co-stars. Anyways.
Nice.
One of the co-stars on my mom's show, he like plays hockey for fun. So there was a charity hockey game, like half celebs, half professionals. And my mom's co-star Dave was like, oh, I know these like really two cute Russian hockey players, like do you want to meet them, blah blah blah. So my mom and dad met, and then ever since then they've been dating, and they got married like, I don't know, like a year later. I think they're only dating for like 6 months or something
before they got married.
I think they were dating for 6 months and then they got engaged, and then they probably got married like within that year.
That's so crazy. That's awesome though. That's an awesome story.
Yeah, so, and then my dad still played.
Did he move over here with his brother?
He actually, I think, I can't remember who came over first. So one of them came over first. I think
is
it was
older?
My dad. My dad is younger.
Okay.
But I think my uncle was playing maybe for like Soviet Union, or I don't know, some hockey team over in Russia.
Yep.
So I think that's why he didn't come as soon as my dad.
That's the team that I was on.
Yeah. So I think he was, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure my dad was over here first. And then they played together for a little bit.
Okay, yeah, dude, your dad and your uncle are like the most legendary Russians ever. That family's,
I mean,
like your whole family is like. So do you ever go back to, do you ever go visit in Russia? Is your uncle Pavel and his whole family in Russia still? Are they here? How does that work?
They're in Russia.
Okay.
They actually moved out to Florida for a little bit. I don't know. That's kind of like a common, I don't know, place for people to go, or Russians to go. I don't know.
Okay. I would believe that.
They were out in Florida for a little bit. But we would go back. Ever since I was little, we would go to Russia every summer, every other summer. And then we just kind of stopped going because we were just traveling a lot. And my dedushka, who that's like grandpa in Russian, my babushka and dedushka, they got divorced. So he was actually a trainer for the Devils.
Yep.
In New Jersey. So he was out here in America. And then my babushka was the only one who was in Russia, and so now she just comes out here instead of us going to there, because it's more of like a vacation for her out here.
Yeah, okay.
She can go shopping and be with us, and so with kind of schedules, it just works better that she comes out here instead of us going back there.
Okay. And how many times have you been over to Russia?
Many. I mean, I don't know. I literally went there every single summer until I was probably like, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something.
Is most of the family in Moscow?
Yes.
Okay. So you would go to Moscow.
Yeah, but it's only, now it's my babushka and then my uncle and then his wife and two kids.
Do you speak any Russian? Does your mom speak any Russian?
My dad spoke Russian to me when I was really little. So like I used to be able to speak it. Now I can get by in a conversation and I can understand whenever he's speaking to his friends.
That's so awesome.
I speak the most Russian within like all the family members. Like no one else can really speak.
Oh, okay. So your brothers don't speak any.
I mean, they can speak, but I think I was the one, and I'm still the one that's, like, most interested in it. So if my dad's home, like, I'll still say words to him that are in Russian, whereas they just, I don't think they caught it. Because basically what happened was my dad was just, like, he was getting too frustrated with teaching us English and Russian at the same time and, like, mixing the two. So he was like, I'm done with this, blah, blah, blah. So I don't think they caught it because they were a little too young, but I did. So I just kind of kept it.
Okay. And has your dad been super Americanized now? Are you guys still eating borscht in the house?
We still eat Russian food. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's pretty Americanized, but as far as like, I don't know, just the things he does, I feel like his attitude and just the way he is, he's like still very Russian, but.
Okay. That's awesome.
You know. Yeah.
So now you're in LA. I would love to hear about your, before we talk about your book, I would love to hear about your, quest on The Voice.
Oh my gosh.
How did that come about? What made you decide to go do that? Cause you you were on it for, how many years ago was this?
This was, like 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So fairly recent.
Yeah. Recent. So basically, I'm trying to think. Okay. So yeah, I had performed at this place for my mom's. It was like my mom was having a surprise party and I got to sing for her. And I think a producer, it got put up on YouTube and a producer saw it and had emailed me like, oh, I'm a producer on The Voice. We'd love for you to audition. If that's something you're interested in, like email me back. And I was not about auditioning for like American Idol, The Voice, X Factor. I can't. I will literally pee my pants on stage. Like I will get so nervous when it's like competition based. I'm very competitive. So I was like, oh, this is not a good thing for me to be doing. And I showed my mom the email. She was like, oh no, you're doing it. You have to do it. Like you're going to regret it. Like it's going to be so fun. Like you're going to love it. This is such an amazing opportunity. And I got the email probably like my second semester of my senior year. So like I was graduating and I didn't have any real plan because I basically told my parents like I'm not going to college. So they were like, okay, great. You're not going to college. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your free time? And I was like, oh, I'm just going to pursue. I'm going to go on auditions and blah, blah, blah. So when I got this opportunity, like a couple months prior, I was like, okay, well, you know, this is my chance to do something. And I just told myself, you know, even if it scares you, you need to do things that are, you need to say yes to things that are going to push you. So I emailed her back and I was like, yeah, blah, 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 I'm going to do it. So I had to, there's multiple rounds of basically of auditioning before you actually get to getting to the things that you see on YouTube of the judges turning around for you. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, you have to go through multiple stages of like meeting with like producers and then like executives and then blah, blah, blah. And then you finally get to the thing because there's only like 100 people that are really auditioning for the actual
For the four judges
for the show. Yeah, there's only like 100.
And how many people actually show up to the thing when you're going there to do the first one? So like a line around the whole block.
Oh, for like the initial one.
Yeah, like the initial ones.
Yeah. So basically, with some it's like a cattle call. So you could have like 8,000 at like a stadium show up.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't. The thing was, I caught it where they had already been through multiple rounds and I was at like the audition right before you get to the judges or something like that. Like I had caught it when she emailed me. And so she was like, just send in videos of yourself. So that's what I did. And then I got a call saying, okay, you know, we'd love to have you audition. And so I was like excited and like nervous and I prepped for a really long time. Auditioned for it and Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting experience. It's also like on TV, and so it's just, it's not always everything that you think it is.
Yeah, it's cut and edited a bit.
Exactly, but I mean, I think that it was definitely a cool experience. Everyone who was on the show was so awesome and really talented, and I made a lot of great friends from it. So it was definitely a cool experience, and I'm glad I got to do something like that, just to say like, oh, you know, I did that. It was fun. It was a cool experience. But
how long did the whole thing last? Because you went back a couple times, didn't you?
Yeah, I would say the whole thing, because I lasted for 2 rounds, and I think I was there for probably like the entire thing collectively was maybe like 3 months.
Okay.
So it's long, because there's like a lot of prep before each thing, and then you're taking breaks before filming each like round.
Yeah, totally.
Because things need to air, and then they're auditioning new. It's so complicated.
How long after you filmed it does it actually get go on a TV?
Well, basically, because some things are pre-recorded, the first like 3 rounds are pre-recorded, and then once you get to like the live shows, then those are really live.
Okay, yeah.
But prior, I maybe had like, if I had, I don't know, I had done my initial audition in like, I forgot when I did it. Maybe like June, or not even June, January, February, March, April, May. Let's say I did it in May, my first one in May. I think it aired in like October or like November or something.
Okay.
So like a while.
You got a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. First of all, that's awesome. How did it? I don't even want to move on past that yet. How did it feel? How does it feel like going on the stage as somebody that did have like that much fear and stuff? Like, how did you feel like you managed it when you actually went out there? Because you were just saying that you were about to pee your pants or freak out.
It was so nerve-wracking for me. And with the type of music that I really like to do, I feel like my voice needs to be like really like my vibe. It's just like a very soft, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not like I don't have one of these voices where I'm like belting Whitney Houston or anything.
And
so with those type of voices that are very, I don't even know who I would compare myself to, but you need to have such a stable frame. You can't be moving like a ton. You can't be like not like jumping and down, but like you can't just run a race and then sing your song, you know? Like it's so, you can hear every little crack, every little detail, which makes voices like that like awesome and great to listen to. But when you're nervous and like your heart is beating so fast, like how can you control, you can't control your voice in any way. So it was really difficult for me, and I had to actually like do a lot of training where I would literally run around my room, and then I'd have to sing my song because I figure, okay, my heart's probably going to be beating close to this.
Wow.
Or like around this.
Very interesting.
I think now it's weird because I don't have as much anxiety. Like I really don't have any anxiety with singing in front of people or performing. I performed at what's it called? Where do the Ducks play? They play at the
Anaheim.
Honda Center in Anaheim. I've performed there and like I feel nothing. Like that's the coolest thing. I like live for doing that. But when you're being judged by someone, it is just the most nerve-wracking thing. Like you don't want to be told, oh, you're not good, or like you can't do this, you know, or like come back next year, whatever. So I was just like,
totally. That adds a whole other element of it.
Exactly. And you're just like, you're your own worst enemy and thinking like, oh, well then I guess I'm not a good singer, like, or I can't do this, whatever. So it was really difficult, but something I think after that I gained a lot of confidence, because I was like, okay, if I can do that and I can sing in front of these 4 incredible judges, then like I can do a lot of things, you know.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Good for you for getting over that fear.
Thanks.
That's really cool. I guess that kind of takes us into your book. I would please tell me from there. Or was this was your book before the...
My book was right after.
Okay, so tell me what made you decide to do the book, and how you came up with the concept of it or the ideas in it and all that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, so my book is called Let's Be Real. And basically, so right after... Or it was around the same time that it aired. Like, I had auditioned, I got eliminated, and then I kind of... sorry. I had a couple months of, I was not really doing anything. And then this publishing company came to me and offered me to write a book. And I had no idea what I was going to write. And I was like, okay, well, like, yeah, I'd love to write a book, but I don't know.
So the publishing company came to you before you had an idea of it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And yeah, and they basically said, like, we'd love for you to write a book. Like, we think it'd be awesome. Like, you have a great audience, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, great.
Do you like writing?
I do. I really love writing.
Okay. Awesome.
Like, English and all that is, like, one of my favorite subjects in school. And, like, I have a journal that I write in. So, like, I was, oh, this would be great.
Love journaling.
Yeah. So I didn't know what I was going to write about. I was looking up, like, other teen authors and like, okay, what do these people write about? I'll just write about something similar. Like, I couldn't come up with my own ideas. Like, I wasn't even 18 at the time, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm freaking gonna write about. Like, I'm only 18 years old. What experience do I have? And then I remember sitting in my room and like talking to my mom about like social media and how it's just really difficult. And I feel like so many people aren't being real. And then I was like, oh, that's what I want to write about. Like, and I realized what I have all, it's something that I've been passionate about talking about and something that like I deal with as a teenager. And I know so many other people do, but about like being real and being authentic. And I mean, for girls at least, there's so many images that you see or videos that you see that are so choreographed or like photos that are so edited, and for young girls to believe like that's what you're actually supposed to look like at a certain age, or this is actually what your life is supposed to be like, when either these people are editing their photos or, you know, they actually don't know what their life is gonna be like, or they don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for these young girls and even for people like me to see that stuff on the internet, and then you feel so discouraged about yourself.
Where it's like a highlight reel of their life.
Exactly, because you're like, oh, well, mine is clearly not like that, but every post they have is like of them smiling and they're at a beach or they're doing this or, you know, whatever. And I feel like that's everyone's social media. You obviously want to post things that you are happy about and that you like. So I was like, oh, that's what I want to kind of talk about, is just like social media, being real, but also just like the everyday tips and tricks of life that I feel like maybe people don't talk about, or the awkward stories that people don't want to tell, or I don't know. So just kind of like a fun, just teen book for girls and guys, but more based towards girls, just to kind of have someone to like read or, you know, hear their stories or whatever, because I think when I was a younger teenager, like, I wish I would have had that type of book to reassure me, like, oh, it's okay, you know, social media isn't real.
Totally. And your book, and the book is awesome. I'm a guy, and I'm much, I feel like I'm a lot older than the people it's definitely catered to, and I still love it. I think it's great.
Oh, thanks.
But going into some of the things that you say in your book, how do you recommend people find confidence in themselves when they are looking at social media so much? And it is like such a big thing right now. What are the ways that you do it yourself without comparing and without diving deep into like looking at other people and judging them and stuff like that?
I think it's a lot about not looking at those pictures as often. And I know that's so difficult because like I'm on my phone all the time and I'm always comparing myself and seeing pictures of girls that are either a lot skinnier than me, or like I think they're prettier or whatever, or if they have better skin than me, and I'm like, oh, I need to achieve this. But the thing is, you need to set goals for yourself, because everyone's different. Like, you're never gonna have this exact body as someone else. You're never gonna have this exact personality. You know, everyone was built a certain way, and you need to cater to yourself in the way that you were made and that you were built. So it can be difficult to kind of grasp that, because I feel like society has this like standard of what is beauty. And I think slowly we're breaking that down, which is awesome, of being like, everyone is beautiful and every shape and every size and every personality and every interest is beautiful. But I think just trying to stay off your phone and like not look at that and look at yourself to make your own goals. And the thing is, like, you can't be the best somebody else. You can only be the best you. And you are the only person who knows how to do that. So, you know, working from within is pretty much the only way you're really going to do that. Like, you have to work on yourself. And every day it's like a challenge, but it's something that's only going to better yourself.
Totally. And yeah. And I think with the comparison stuff, it's so easy now because of phones and social media and everybody is posting that stuff to go on and feel like your whole life is a mess just from the other posts that your friends are having, that are putting up, or like the way that someone's Instagram story or something is looking. But going into opening that, like literally opening the app and knowing, like having that thought to be like, look, whatever I'm looking at right now is someone else's life. It's like their highlight reel. It's not me. Like I'm doing my own thing. I'm in my own lane. Like I'm not, that's not my life. Yeah. You have to have that kind of awareness when you go into it, or else any of those apps can be super destructive.
Totally. And it's also about like instant gratification with those type of apps. Like you post a picture and you're sitting on your phone like, okay, who's going to like it? Who's going to comment? How many likes am I going to get versus this person? And
definitely.
It's not even like looking at someone else's post and being like, I wish I had that. But when you put your own stuff out there, you're like, oh, I'm basing my worth off of this app and like how much love I'm getting from this photo or this video or this story.
Definitely.
And I always find myself doing that. Even if I post like an Insta story that I think is funny, and like usually if I have like a funny something, like I'll get a couple messages being like, ha ha ha, that's funny. If I like don't see anyone responding or even like reacting to something that I post, I'm like, oh, this isn't good. Like, but even if it makes me happy, I'm like, oh, maybe this isn't good. You know,
you feel that like little voice come in inside of you.
Exactly. And it's wild because it's like, just even when I was younger, like I wouldn't care what someone else thought. Like if I thought it was funny or if I thought it was cool, like I'm just gonna do it because it makes me happy. And now everyone, including myself, like I'm just so basing my worth off other people, and it's so destructive, and it's really dangerous. I've had to delete Instagram and Twitter for a couple days and just be like, I'm not gonna go on it.
Yeah, I've done
like,
that before.
I don't need it.
You mean just delete the app?
Yeah, just delete the app. Just because, and even it's so weird, I won't have the app on my phone and like my thumb will automatically click the app where Instagram's been.
It's so
funny. Because it's just like a habit. Isn't
Absolutely.
That wild?
Yeah, totally been there. And I've honestly said that exact same thing to other people. Like, hey, try and delete this for a couple days and watch how many times your phone will not, your hand will literally unlock your phone and try to click where that Instagram logo has been.
It's the most wild thing.
Yeah, it is. Like, and it's so literally crazy. Exactly what you're saying. It's instant gratification. It's like, scientifically, it's like your body's craving that dopamine, especially when you get in a situation that is stressful or is anxious, and another chemical called cortisol and adrenaline starts to go in your body, and you're like, all of a sudden you want that shiny object, which is another word for the Instagram likes or comments or feedback or something like that. So you try to click it and you try to get in there and get that feeling of, oh, it's okay. Like I'm still relevant. It's okay. Like I got still the situation that I'm in the real world right now might be super anxious, but like in my phone, like I just got 300 likes in the last 10 minutes. So I'm good. And it can really mess you up. It can really mess you up.
No, it can really mess you up. It can mess you up mentally, but it can also mess you up socially, because when you're stuck on your phone so much and you're so stuck on what other people are doing online, like how are you being social with other people in general, or when you're at dinner or when you're at a party, like are you just going to be on your phone?
Totally.
How are you making those friends? And obviously like some, you know, I make so many of my friends on social media if I see people and I'll connect with them or whatever, but it's like you still need to have those social skills to make friends who are, you know, face to face with you.
Totally.
And I feel like so many people now who have these big followings and who have these like little small group of friends are not able to kind of go out because all they know is, okay, I'm just going to stick with the people who know exactly what I'm like and who know what I'm going through. And it's like, you'll miss out on so many opportunities when you don't, you know, expand your horizons
in
like the social aspect.
And not only the on the positive side of it where you're like getting the instant gratification of happiness, but also when you really are going through stuff, like when you really are having serious problems, if because you're so stuck in your phone all the time, because that's become your number one resource for instant gratification, instead of turning to a person that's next to you or a loved one or somebody that's in your house or your family or something like that, you go onto your phone and you hide it and you bottle it up, like something that you're really going through, some dark times or something like that, because every single other time you've built this concept of the only way to get instant gratification is to find it through your phone. Now, when you need that instant gratification to get out of something that's really dark, where do you go? You go back to your phone because it's been there so many times before. And so a lot of people don't know how to open up and talk to people next to them and tell them what's going on and have real conversations in person, because they're just so used to being able to do it over a screen.
No, totally. And it's also, I always think about this, like the more that I'm on my phone or the more that I'm just like sitting in my bed on social media, I could be doing so many other things to better my career or like just to better my health or go for a walk or something like that. And definitely. I'm just like, it becomes, if I haven't posted, and I try to like on Instagram, I mean, now more than anything, it has become, obviously when you're trying to like either on like YouTube or whatever, like it can be any sort of social media, it can become a job, like I said before, where you're like, oh, I need to consistently post, I need to do this. And some, I've like literally sat in my bed where I haven't posted an Instagram for like a week or more than a week, and I'm like, okay, what should I post? Like, I either need to take a good photo or I need to take a picture of the sunset, and I'll be like racking my brain trying to take a photo. I'm like, oh, I need that, like I need to see, like I want like love from people online, like I'm, you yeah, know, whatever, absolutely. You're craving that, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I could be in the studio right now. I could be doing something more productive. Like, I always think of the people who aren't on social media, what they're doing. And like, they're probably doing something that's better for the bigger picture rather than this little thing that's on your phone. That's so, you know, in like, it's just so dumb, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what is it that gets you over that feeling of like, I need to post, like I need this love. Like, what is it that you turn to? Do you just like recognize that you have that thought and just be like, no, I don't? Or do you like go with it and try to post? Or do you like try and take your mind off of it by doing something else immediately? Which way how do you usually try and work with that?
Now I have become a lot better about it, where if I have taken a photo or if like it's something that I like, I'll post it. Now I don't really ever strive to go and like just take a photo just okay. to post it.
So now you don't have as much structure with the way, with the amount that you're posting or what you're posting.
Yeah, now I don't. I think just because I honestly just think I don't care as much. Because I always think to myself, like, I just don't know how Instagram's going to better my life. Like, I just don't know how it's going to, like, it's not going to change me in any way. Like, I can be working on so many things. So if I have something awesome to share, great, I'll share it. And if I don't, then I don't. Usually if I'm out and about, like, I'll take a photo or I'll have right. something going on where I'm glad to share it. But it's like, I don't feel that pressure anymore to like find an old picture and post it just because I want content up. Like,
right.
I don't feel the need to do that anymore.
So it's more of
good.
It's more of you're living a life that you want to live and enjoy. And you happen to be photographing it and posting those rather than wanting to post a photo on Instagram, so you go and try and live that life so that you can post it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously there's like certain exclusions, like if I'm supposed to, with some specific things, if I'm like supposed to post something,
yeah,
or if
yeah,
I
yeah.
need to tag something, like, you know, all that aside, then yes, that's pretty much only if I happen to take a photo and I'm like, oh, I like that, then I'll post it, or if I'm doing something that I feel like I want to photograph. But otherwise I'm kind of like, I don't need to.
That's good that you have that like that awareness of it.
Yeah.
How do you feel in the book? You talk a lot about like vulnerability, and maybe not only in the book but just like a lot of the
yeah.
posts that you have and stuff, you just talk about being you and being vulnerable and loving every part of that, what you are, how do you think the return has been of with you opening up? Like, I think everybody at some point is starts pretty closed, and then, or at some point becomes a little bit closed, and they kind of get closed off towards other people, or their heart closes a little bit, something happens. But opening up and like really showing, really like being like, I don't care what other people think to an extent. Where you, I mean, everybody always cares, like, to a little extent, because they want to love other people and stuff like that. But like not caring like of people's judgment and being vulnerable and allowing like your real authentic self to be shown. How have you felt that like people around you respond to that, and like not only on social media but just like to people around you? Because you are an extremely awesome advocate for allowing yourself to be super vulnerable.
Thanks. I think I always will get like, I think people, it's like a good message in general. So I feel like people are always going to support like, yeah, I want to be me, and I don't want to hide. I don't want to put up these walls. It's obviously a lot easier said than done. For me, I think it kind of honestly came about because when I was in high school, and even when I was younger, like I've always had a really big temper, and I would always get in fights with my parents or my brothers, and it like got to a point where I was in high school and my temper was just really, really bad. And I don't really think my parents knew what to do with it, because I think the whole situation was a little bit bigger than them. And so my mom, I would never like show my friends. Like I was always, I feel like in high school, like everyone knew me as this like little goody two shoes girls. I never went out and never did anything. But like I had this whole other like life at home where I was kind of like, I was just like a brat, and I had a huge attitude, and I was never allowed to go out or do anything because my parents were just like they didn't know what to do with me. I was such a bad kid. And I never showed that to my friends because I was like, oh, all my friends, they're probably so nice to their parents, and they probably never get in trouble, and they probably never have these like psychotic meltdowns. And so I never showed anybody that. And yeah, at the end of my, I forgot when it was. It was like the end of my 9th grade year. I was like a freshman in high school. I had this one night where I just completely blew up. It was like really bad. And my mom's like, okay, we need to like something needs to change. And so my mom was like, okay, we're going to start going to therapy, which I thought was like the craziest thing. Like, I'm not going to therapy. I'm not going to sit and talk about my problems to a therapist. Like, I don't have any issues, you know? And I was very prideful of like, I don't have any, there's nothing wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just my parents are being mean or whatever and whatever. And I went through a lot of like, I went through a lot of really deep digging and soul searching and working like through my faith and working through a lot of different things of myself, understanding how my brain works and how certain things about me are different maybe than like my brother's brains work. And once I understood that, I became so much more comfortable with myself, and I came so much more comfortable with just like being okay with who I am and the fact that there are certain parts about me that are obviously different than everyone else, things that I need to work harder on. And when I started accepting that, the older I got, the more open me and my friends would be, I think, about those type of issues. And then I don't know when this happened, but like one of my friends was like, oh yeah, when I see my therapist, and I was like, oh my gosh, like you go to therapy too? Yeah, I go to therapy. Like I thought that was a really crazy thing. Yeah. And now like half LA has a therapist, or half LA is, you know, getting help for an issue that they have, whether if it's like mental or just like emotionally or whatever it may be. It just became so much less crazy to me of like everyone has something that they're dealing with.
Totally.
Whether if it's with like parents or just being depressed or whether it's just whatever it may be, like it just became this whole world of like, oh my gosh, every single person deals with this, like in some regard, like in some different way.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was just like, yeah, we're all sitting having the same problem, and we're just like hiding behind doors because we don't want everyone to think we're not okay. And so I just started really stressing that. And that was like a huge message in my book of like, you need to be honest, because there's no way for you to better yourself if you can't even be honest with yourself of like what you're going through. And I think more now, like, people are being so accepting of who they are and what the things that they're going through, because everyone like wants to, in the end, who doesn't want to help each other and like grow a better society and a better America? But I think it's so important for people to just really like accept themselves, which is so much easier said than done, because I think that the biggest change like starts within than like, you know, being so open with other people. It's like you really have to work on loving yourself first more than anything.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely where it starts. And it's hard because you don't know what everybody else is going through, and some people might have really, really, really deep things, and other people might have nothing or really, really shallow things. But like, for everyone, taking the like step to look yourself in the mirror and have those deep talks to yourself, like those deep moments where you're soul searching, and going on that path of like actually wanting to better yourself, it's definitely the first places it starts with, is opening up and recognizing it, and then going and being okay with talking to someone about it. And it's overwhelming how awesome the support usually is for people. I don't know anybody that would go and talk to somebody that they love and the person be like, you know, that's not right, or like, you know, right. Like, you know, like, shut, yeah, like shut up or something like that. And if they are, then that's not the person you want in your life at all.
Totally.
But yeah, it's, and I think that it is something that's changing, that's slowly changing, but I think there still is a stigma attached to any kind of mental health problem, any kind of emotional problem. It's like, it's physical pain. Everybody is like, wow, you got a broken leg. All right. You need 2 weeks. You need to, like, don't put any weight on that leg. But all of a sudden, mental pain, like anything that goes on inside of your psyche, anything that goes on in your mind, your any emotion, you have a broken heart, suck it up. Like, you have like, you're like, someone's like being someone, you're getting bullied, like, deal with it. Like, none of that stuff is as big of a problem as physical pain, when now I think people are starting to realize that it actually is as big as physical pain. Actually, some of it is quite physical pain, like the pain of a heartbreak is now scientifically proven to actually cause physical pain. So it's it's like that stuff is becoming more okay with and more talked about. And that's something that I really try and talk to guys about, because that's a whole nother issue, is girls compared to guys opening up. But I think just for everybody, just allowing, just recognizing that you are who you are, you might as well love it. And like, as soon as you love it, the rest of the world will love it. Like, if you hate yourself, there's no way that the rest of the world's going to love you. But if you love yourself, you'll be really surprised at how many other people actually start to really like you and love you for who you are.
I completely agree. And speaking of that, I just saw the movie. I don't know if you saw it. I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer.
No, I did not.
Okay, so I just randomly saw, I probably would have never seen this movie, honestly. I'm not really into like these like funny light horror comedies. Like, I always go see these like dark action movies. I don't know. Anyways, I randomly saw the movie, and it has the best message, because she is this girl who's like super insecure about herself, thinks she's like super overweight, ugly, gets like bumped on the head, and she looks the exact same, but now she has the mindset that she's like the most beautiful girl in the world. And you see everyone's opinion of her, like, not change entirely, but you see so many people gravitating towards her because she's so confident in herself.
Wow, that's crazy.
She loves who she is, and she looks the exact same. She looks no different than she did before. It's only her mentality that's changed. And it's so true. Like, you are attracted to people that, like, just give off this like light and energy that's of positivity and of encouragement, no matter of how you look or anything like that. So it's just, it's really so true. Like, you're gonna grow, and you're gonna make so many friends just as soon as you really start to like embrace who you are. You're really gonna thrive.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, exactly how you're saying. First of all, that sounds like an awesome plot for a movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's awesome that you said that, because it is really like your inner world is totally just gets projected into the outside. Like they're the same, as above, so below. Like everything inside and out, whatever is within you is going to manifest outside of you. So if you decide to really, really, really just give yourself overflowing amounts of love and just really accept yourself and be like, you know, I like who I am. Like, I don't need other people to love me, but first I'm going to love myself. It's very surprising how quick everything starts to change.
And like, who's going to go up to you when you love yourself and you love who you are and criticize that? Like, no one can say anything, you know?
Totally.
When you're so happy and like when you love yourself. And I just think it's a really unattractive quality, in my opinion, for people who really are talking down to themselves, because it's like you want someone that appreciates them and appreciates other people no matter what you look like or what type of personality you have or interest or anything like that. But it's such a attractive quality when people are like, yeah, like I love myself. This is how I was made. Like I'm gonna appreciate it. Like you can't really change yourself. This is the way you're made. You might as well enhance all the features that you love about yourself and just go for it.
Yeah, totally. You see that, you see like a person walking with tons of confidence, just like they're, you know, they're standing up straight, they're just like happy, they're smiling, and then you see somebody that's just like slouched over and like frowning.
Insecure, yeah.
Just like, oh man, like just, yeah, just comments on every other person's stuff, and they're always tearing other people down, and it's like, yeah. Come on, man, like just like enjoy yourself, like you're alive, you get to be like, we won the lottery, we're alive, totally. Like you're healthy, like it's so much better than it looks. But that goes back to, literally goes all the way back to what we were saying in the very beginning, is social media can pull you away from that, really pull you away from that,
yeah, really quickly.
Why do you think that there is so much depression or loneliness in around us right now? Do you think it's because of social media?
I think it's just because I think everyone just is trying to be better than what they see online, or they're trying to be, you're basically comparing yourself to like something that doesn't exist. Because what you see on social media is so edited, it's so filtered, it's so choreographed. Like, you see, if I post a picture on Instagram, and I'm trying to be better about this, but like if I post a picture, like I've probably taken 100 photos to get one that I like, or like one that I think is cute, you know? So it's so specific. I didn't just randomly wake up and take this photo and I look flawless. Like I have makeup on, or I have an outfit on. Like people are just comparing themselves to this false reality, because that's not real life. Like you're posting things that are so like like a highlight reel, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like people more than ever, with social media becoming such a rise, like that's all they do. And then again, just kind of going back to the mental health, like people just, I think with so many people having that state, like just don't take it as seriously, or kind of brush it off, or maybe don't get the help that they need. Even if it's just something small and you just need someone to talk to, like people get really scared to open up in that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. They turn to instead of opening up to a friend or something like that, they turn to a coping mechanism, which used to be alcohol or something like that, and now it's your phone.
But it's like an addiction. Like, how can I feed this addiction of that's what I get my gratification from?
Totally.
Like you're not sitting. You're not, if you get a new outfit, or if, I mean, I'm comparing this to a girl, but like if you get a new outfit, or if you get a new hairstyle or whatever it is, like you're not going home and showing your friends, or you're not looking in the mirror and being like, oh my gosh, I think I look so great, or I'm so happy, or I just got an awesome test. Like the first thing you do when something good happens to you is like, oh, gotta post it, gotta put it on my story, gotta put it on my Snapchat, gotta text someone so I can feel like I actually did something, because you aren't good enough to actually
feed
yourself,
so true.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. Instead of actually like taking a photo and just being like, all right, I took the photo, like, let me just enjoy the rest of this moment. Let me just enjoy like the rest of what's going on. It's like, I took the photo needs to go up.
Yeah, like you can't even enjoy something that happens to you that's awesome. I don't know. It could be anything. Like you literally see someone doing something cool on the street. I don't know. That's a really bad example. But like you see someone doing something on the street that you think is cool, or I don't know. The first thing you do is like, oh, I gotta just tell someone about this. Like I need someone to share in my joy. And it's like, but you can just enjoy it and live in that moment instead of going out, because you're just taking yourself out of that moment that you were excited about, or, you know?
Right. Right. No, totally. And how do you think we like create a more unified society, or a more like together group of people?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I think I don't want to say like less technology, because
that's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible and it's like inevitable, but I seriously have the most fun when my phone is in my room and I'm like having a barbecue at my house and I have all these people over and you're just enjoying company and having good conversation and you're living in the moment and things become 10 times funnier and things become 10 times more interesting because you're not expecting anything because you don't have that other distraction or that other expectation of like getting a notification on your phone or whatever it is, you know?
Right.
And it's so difficult because like even when this is so bad, but like even if I'm driving, I'm just like, oh, like I'll just have my phone in my hand, or like I'll just like sometimes look over and see if I got a notification, because like I constantly need something to like feed my brain instead of just like driving and looking out the window or whatever it is. It's so difficult to just live in the moment. And I honestly don't know how, but I feel like just in general, just kind of looking up and engaging in those conversations and doing something that's more productive.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure the exact answer either. I think maybe just talking about it, like having this information kind of be like just more widespread to where everybody is like, okay, we do have a problem here. Like, right. We are seriously addicted. I think maybe that's a start. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how. It's crazy because there's no way that technology is going backwards. There's no way that there's going to be less of it, especially with like augmented reality and virtual reality and all that stuff. It's going to be soon. Technology is like everywhere. But how do we interact with technology to where it's not pulling us away from living a normal life and living a healthy life, yet we're still able to like function with it and do it normally?
There's like such a fine line.
There's a fine line, because throughout everything we've said, we're not trying to say never don't use social media and don't.
Yeah, of course.
But there's definitely a fine line from using it as a coping mechanism and using it to like feed an addiction, or using it to just genuinely interact with like your loved ones and people that you know and care about.
It's also difficult because you're getting all your news and all your information about what's going on in the world. Like I don't ever watch the news, but I'll see what's going on in the news because I'll follow accounts on Twitter or whatever it is, and that's how I'm getting my information of like what's going on.
Yeah.
So that's also like another thing. It's just like a habit to kind of go on because you want to be updated on like what's going on.
Yeah. There's no way to go backwards. I think the answer would be to just try to hope that everybody kind of comes to the same understanding that you have or I have. That's like, I am feeling like I'm getting pulled to this more than I need to, or I'm especially going into this app when I'm feeling like anxious or feeling like I need something to gain something out of it, some kind of addiction that I have. So just knowing that and then being like, okay, I'm just going to not do that as much. Like I'm just going to take a step back from that. Maybe like pull back a little bit.
Yeah. I this is random, but just like a thought. When I was in high school, I went to this summer camp in Missouri, and it's like this sports camp. And it's, you basically can't have any electronics, like no phones, no anything. And you can go for like 2 weeks or you can go for a month. And I always went for a month. So it's been a month long. in Missouri with like 10 other girls in my cabin. And basically all you do is you wake up at like 8 a.m., you eat breakfast, and then you just play whatever sport you came to play. So I always played tennis because like I've just been playing that since I was 4. So I would always play tennis, or you'd be doing something outdoors, you'd be swimming in the lake, whatever, you eat lunch, you go do the same thing, and then you eat dinner, and then you know, have like night activities. But you have no phone for an entire month. So like my family would be writing me letters, I'd write letters back to them. But I probably learned more about these 10 girls that I was with in my cabin than I have about some of my friends who I've known for like 2 years, like some deep stuff, you totally. Know? Because you're sitting there with them and you're forced to engage in conversation that you know you would never have if you were on your phone, because you would kill the awkward silence with just checking your phone or seeing who texted you or whatever. Like, you wouldn't even let it go that deep. And it always amazed me how close I got with these people who we all came from different states. Like, none of us, I was probably one of the only girls that came from California, because it was in Missouri. So most kids are coming from like Texas, Arkansas, like those Midwest states that are coming in. Yeah. So it wasn't like I had any connection of like, oh, you know, when we're back home, let's go to Melrose, I don't know, like random, you know, I like have no connection. Like, I'm forced to engage in conversation of like, yeah, what's going on in your life? Like, tell me about it. Like, blah, blah, blah. And you get so deep. And that's really when I started becoming more comfortable with like my situation of knowing that I had a temper and that I had like anger issues. And I had some like just deep seated like issues that I would talk about with my therapist and stuff. And when I would talk to these girls about the same issues, then I became so much more comfortable. But I feel like nowadays we're not even really getting to those conversations with people until like you're maybe like well in a couple months or whatever. Like, you're not going to swing that at someone right off the bat. Absolutely. Now, because you're just like, oh, we'll just have small talk about what boys we like or what school we're going to or whatever. And it's like, that's really not real life. Like, you're not going to know anything about a person's life if you can't kind of stay off the phones. And I was just, I would always come back from camp and I'd be like, I wish no one had their phone. It wasn't even like I wish I was back there, or like I wish conversations were like that. Like, I just wish people didn't, like, for a while just wouldn't have their phone, because it would be such a different world. But obviously, again, can't move backwards, but you know.
No, yeah, obviously. But that is interesting that you guys got that deep, and just because you didn't have your phones. And I think that finding a conversation like that that does get that deep is really unique now. It's crazy. If you have a conversation like that that gets that deep, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, you tell everyone. I had an.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, but I those are the conversations that I absolutely love to have, which is the reason why I'm doing this. But yeah, I think that that's totally true, that it hurt, that it's taken away from our social, I don't know, skills. So it's conversational skills. Or the ability for us to get deep. And I don't know the way out of it, but I'm really curious to hear or to look more into it.
Me too. I mean, yeah, it's just, it kind of scares me, because it's like more and more technology is becoming and social media in general is becoming such a big part of our lives. But
I wonder if there's any companies or apps or I don't even know, businesses that deal with that, help people detox from like technology.
Yeah, that is a good, I mean, question and thought. I don't know. It's just crazy, because even like a couple years ago, you would have never thought like Instagram was a thing, because Instagram's kind of recent, right?
I think Instagram's about 10-15 years.
Okay.
Which isn't too crazy.
No, you're right. Well, it was because I got Instagram when I was like,
I think it's about 10 years.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that would make sense, because I think I was like,
it was 2010. I think it's about 18. 8 years old, because I had it when I was 17.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, but that's still the eight years when you think about it, like that, because I would have been in like...
No, I agree, new. It's not, I don't think it's very old.
I would have been in like eighth grade or something. So like I was like halfway of being a teenager at that point. Like I probably had just turned, like, I don't know. Oh, I would have just turned 13 or 12 or something, I think. Yeah. Because I'm 20. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So it's like not that new, but like it's newer-ish, kind of like in the big, like 8 years, 10 years, not really that many years, you know?
Right.
But it's like before that, when I was a kid, when I was like seven, like I didn't even think anything like this would exist.
I know, which is just crazy to think about, how far it's going to go past here. Instagram's only been up for 8 years. Feels like it's been a lifetime.
Exactly. That's why it's just, it like freaks me out.
It's got to be hard for people to detox or to step away from an app like that, or to not compare themselves and stuff, especially once they are making money off of it too. Because if you're just a normal person and you're just looking at your friends and stuff like that, I think that that's one thing, but I think it's a whole different situation if you're making money off of it and then it's like, okay, I'm addicted to this, but I'm making money off of it. Do I put the phone down and say screw it, or do I feed this addiction and make money?
I think it makes Instagram become a lot more, it makes it a lot less fun. Like even in the past, I don't know, like 2 months, I've done a lot of like either brand deals or like posting for like certain companies or whatever. And they're companies that like I support and I like and that I've used before. And like I would never promote something that just like wasn't a part of something that I actually do. But it's not as fun when it's like not because I...
When it's work.
This is like... Yeah, when it's work. And it's like when you have those, that's also the other thing. It's like when you have those type of posts, I don't want to do one after the other after the other. Like I kind of need to break it up. I need to add some things like fillers just to kind of like, oh, this is actually what I do in my regular day life. It's not like I'm being paid for every single post that I have.
Totally.
And I was telling my friend, I got some clothes from this brand and like I wanted to post for them. And I was trying to find someone to take photos of me, and like none of my friends were available. They all had things to do. And I was like, I know it's not fun. Like it's not even fun for me to like be forced to take a photo and to do this stuff, but it's like a job. Like when you have people that are like, that look, not look at you that way, but like if you have like brands or things like that and like you're posting because of that, it's like, it doesn't make Instagram fun. Like it makes it a job, which is not fun.
For sure.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, if you're making money and if that's your business, then yeah, you have to do that. Like that becomes your business. Instagram and YouTube, I think, honestly go hand in hand of like with brands and kind of making like that your platform and like making yourself your own business. But like that is like you are becoming a business in itself.
How do you do brands on YouTube? If Instagram, you just tag the brand. How do you do it on YouTube?
YouTube is really similar. Basically, if like a company comes to you and it's like, oh, we want you to talk about a product. So maybe it could be a makeup item. It could be a clothing brand.
So it's you physically talking about it rather than tagging it.
Yeah, it's you being like, oh, this is what I, you know, this is this product, or it's like just either plugging it. Depending on how high you are, not everyone's gonna do like a full dedicated video to a tee. Like, you know, you see all those like slim tees that girls like are doing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, literally no clue.
Okay, it's like, I don't know what it's called. It's like, oh my God, it's like skinny girl tee or something, and like all these girls post bikini.
I thought you meant like actual like a skinny t-shirt. I know, yeah.
No, like the tee, the drink.
Totally, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And it's like some people are posting that on Instagram. So like, let's put that into like a YouTube perspective. Like either some people are like, oh, I'm going to do a whole 15 minute review on this product. Like maybe that's for someone that could be an option. Or if it's like, if you're this big YouTuber, you have millions of followers, you don't have time, or they're not going to pay you like a certain amount of whatever, then you're just like, oh, this is what I'm using. You get a literally, that's all you put in the video. Like it just depends on it just depends on your platform, you know, for YouTube. But it's mostly plugging a product.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, okay, I have to wrap this up. I have to go. Yes,
I know. We've
been long for a while. This is the longest one I've done.
Really?
Hour and 40 minutes. Close to it. Definitely close to it.
Well, that's good. Conversation is flowing.
Okay, so just click the record to stop it.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. I love y'all. If you have any questions or concerns or... it sparked something that I said that you want to ask me about, send me a message on Instagram at JT Barnett. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you can send me a voice message. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can leave a review or subscribe. Or if you're listening to it, I think it's on Spotify. I'm not sure if it's on Spotify yet, but whatever ones you're on, subscribe if you can so that you got my updates when anything comes up. And like I said, if you got any questions, please feel free to message me. I try to get back to all of them. Thank you so much for listening. I'm out. I'll talk to you guys again soon. All right.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.